For standing by, we'd like to inform all participants that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. If you are not a main speaker, you may wish to mute your line as the call is being done in open forum. Star 6 will mute your line. Star 6 again would reopen your line. And now I'll turn it over to Stephanie Bagot.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's Jazz Open Mic session. The topic today is licensing update and direction. First off, my name is Stephanie Bagot, and I work for IBM Rational as a technical support engineer for Rational Team Concert in Jazz. Today, our speaker will be Kartik Kanakasubasan. Kartik has been with Rational for over 10 years and more than 16 years of IT experience. He has been working in various capacities throughout his career, ranging from development, technical sales, consulting services, product management, and IT management. He has published several white papers and his patents that have helped customers see value in adopting Rational solutions. He is currently the manager of a team called Jazz Jumpstart, whose focus is to enable worldwide customers to adopt Jazz products in a manner that will positively impact their software supply chain. All the mics are open on this call, so please feel free to jump in and share your thoughts and ideas or ask any questions that you might have. And now I will introduce our first speaker, Kartik Kanakasubasan.
Thank you, Stephanie. Just a clarification before we get started, I'm hoping everyone can actually go ahead and see the slide deck. And if the screen repainting takes a while, please let Stephanie know so that she can stop me while I'm going through my flow here. So we'll just get started off with a little slide deck here just to kind of introduce you guys to what exactly Jazz licensing is. And this is something that's actually very close to my heart, predominantly because during the inception phases of our licensing strategy with Jazz, I was the Rational Team Concert product manager at that time. With that said, I also want to make sure that anything I say or do, from a legality perspective, after this call ends, anything I say during this call becomes completely irrelevant as it is. So jokes apart, but just to kind of give you guys an introduction, Jazz has supported floating licensing since October 2008. When RTC and initial Jazz products first came out, they were initially supporting only authorized licensing. And very quickly after that, I think very close 3 months after that, we started supporting floating licensing as well on Jazz products. One thing to, again, be clear is this only, well, the products that we're talking about are primarily around enterprise and standard products for Jazz products specifically. Products like Express products, for example, RTC Express, well, do not support floating licensing as it is. So there's several elements for Jazz specifically, and again, there's a little typo there on the slide, unfortunately. But there are server licenses and there are client access licenses provided by Jazz. Now, the licenses are managed by the Jazz team server, and the clients only point to the server. There's no client logic installed. So, for example, if there's certain other licensing technologies where you first install the license on the license server, then you install a piece of the client on the client on the desktop, and then have your application talk to that client license application that in turn talks to the license server. So all that kind of complexity is kind of taken away. There are client access licenses, and there are two kinds. One is authorized user. The other one is floating. And here, although it says floating is standard edition only, it's actually standard and enterprise. So floating is actually supported on those two variants. Now, the Jazz team server is managed to allow organizations to be license compliant. There's no such thing as going ahead and stopping complete development effort if you're out of compliance with licensing. So there's a level of trust that we're actually putting forward in this context with some of our large customers, knowing the fact that they will always do the right thing in this area. So the way you actually start working with Jazz and Jazz products, especially, is that at the server level, first of all, you have something called as a server activation key or an activation kit. All right, this is installed on the Jazz team server. And what this does is, based on the server edition that you have, it takes the server off trial mode and makes it permanent. So when you've essentially purchased a license, you can actually go ahead and pick up this digitally signed jar file, load it up on the server, and that, from that point on, becomes permanent. Now, RTC Express C is the only anomaly because it's a 10-user free edition that's available for anyone to download. RTC Express, RTC Standard, and RTC Enterprise all by default come with 60-day trials. Same thing with RQM. with RQM Express and RQM Standard come with 60-day trials, and the same thing applies for Requirements Composer as well. Similarly, you also have the client access activation key that is, again, installed on the Jazz Team server to allow clients to actually access this, you know, Jazz infrastructure, Jazz applications. Now, by default, this is independent of which client you use, whether it's web, Eclipse, or command line access, or Visual Studio. It's irrelevant. Basically, once you're an active user in a Jazz environment, as soon as you log in, you actually, you know, you need, depending on the kind of role you play in your organization, you will consume a license as you write to the repository as it is. So there are different types of activation kits that we provide. There is a developer license activation kit, and I'm using RTC as an example here. But you can also find out what the relevant RQM pieces are. For example, if this were RQM, you would have the Quality Manager license activation kit. But here we're just using RTC just to manage the scope a little bit better. You also have something called a developer floating license activation kit, a contributor activation kit, and a contributor floating license activation kit. The difference between the two, which is the regular license activation kit and the floating license activation kit, is the first one is for authorized users. The second one is for floating licenses. So depending on how you have, depending on what you have purchased, you can go ahead and upload the relevant license activation kits and proceed forward. Now, once you've got your server activated, what the administrator would then go ahead and do is essentially punch in the number of licenses that have been acquired. So in this case, if the company has acquired 20 licenses, they go in, activate the product, and then punch in 20 licenses as it is. Now, typically what you would have is, for example, this is some of the kind of deployment scenarios where in which you could go ahead and deploy. So, for example, in this case, George is one of our users who's a contributor. Now, contributors, as you know in RTC, are users that can go ahead and submit work items, create plans, go ahead and view modify dashboards, but they don't necessarily work with source control. So these are, you know, kind of like your external stakeholders to your software supply chain as it is. Now, in a typical authorized user model, what would have happened was the fact that you'd have two independent Jazz server instances, and George here being one of the users who's assigned an authorized license, when logging onto these different servers, would actually be consuming two authorized user licenses. Now, if one of these servers were allocated as a floating license server, and let's say Jazz 2 were to point to Jazz 1 as a floating license server, irrespective of what server George would log on, George would still be consuming only one license. All right? So this is the kind of difference, if you will, between the authorized user licensing value proposition versus what floating actually offers you. So, again, speaking ahead of the slide here again, so if you go to the next slide, we introduced floating licenses in Rational Team Concert 101. And as you're aware, we're now currently in October this year. We're now in RTC 2001. And typically what you would have is you could either run the most current version of RTC, and again, depending on how the license relationship that you've set up, you can have another Jazz Team server redirect calls for license requests to another Jazz Team server, which would be hosting licenses. Now, one thing to note here is the fact that the floating license infrastructure is not FlexLM based. This is actually managed by Jazz itself. Now, floating licenses by default are have a timeout, which is a common industry timeout of 120 minutes or 2 hours. So typically, what we've seen is customers usually go ahead and either dedicate one of their existing license or production servers of Jazz Team server, and then have other license other Jazz Team servers that they may have in the organization point to this existing server, or they just go ahead and install a Jazz Team server for the purpose of running it as a license server. And then when you do that, you don't actually have to purchase another Jazz Team server license. You can talk to your sales rep or so on and so forth and say, listen, I want a separate Jazz Team server, and it's only going to be used as a license server as it is. So you can actually go ahead and provide that kind of an infrastructure, typically in a failover model. So when you have HA involved, you can actually go ahead, have a separate license server that could actually serve license to both your primary server and your secondary failover server when it comes back online. Now, this, when running the Jazz Team server, it can actually hold more than 250 licenses. Sorry. And basically what would happen is, depending on the kind of edition that you have, so for example, I'm using an example of the standard edition, which has a 250 developer user limit, I can go ahead, so that particular server, if it's already hitting 250, in this case standard edition, would only use 250 licenses requested from a standard, even if the license server is serving up to 1,000 licenses. All right? So in this context, what you could actually have is, you know, your single license server could be running up to 2,000 licenses, but if you, let's say, have a standard server that's requesting licenses from a common license server, it would only be taking 250 at a time. Now, if you had an enterprise license server, or if you had an enterprise server talking to a Jazz Team server running as a license server, it could pick up unlimited because there is no restriction in this context at the enterprise server level. Now, typically, the floating license server is implemented to support something called the Follow the Sun development model. So you can actually have a license server and a repository server in North America and have people from around the world connect to the same server, commit their changes, but also actually be able to consume the same set of licenses as needed. So, you know, in more ways than one, it allows more of a flexible type of development model for some of the large teams in general. Now, you can also support something called a mixed license scenario, where in which you can actually have both floating license and authorized users. So in this case, for example, you know, there are certain users that need a license available to them every time they log on. You know, maybe it could be your VP or so on and so forth. So you could actually allocate that individual an authorized user license, and for everyone else, they get floating licenses. Now, as I mentioned, enterprise server has unlimited licenses for both developer and contributor. Now, in the case of standard, you have unlimited contributors, but only 250 developers. Okay? Now, as I mentioned, for certain priority users, you can actually assign them authorized user licensing. And in that case, when you assign that to that particular person, then they're bound to that particular server. So if this person now needs to log on to a different server and they were only using authorized in the prior server, they would still need a new authorized license in the new server as it is. Now, a typical license summary from a rational team concept perspective, as I mentioned earlier, was that, again, we have several instances available. Now, one thing to also note, which is what we've changed with 2001, is that with Express C, you can now also have unlimited contributor licenses. And you only have 10 developer licenses embedded in it, and that's for free. You can go to jazz.net today and download Rational Team Concept 2001 Express C, and that's a free 10-user developer copy. And if you decide that you want to support, let's say, 50 contributors on top of it, you can purchase the additional 50 contributor licenses and have a fully functional development team working. With Express C, now the only thing here is in the case of Express C is the fact that they're all authorized licenses. Similarly, the same thing applies with Express. You have unlimited contributors, but now the user threshold goes from 10 to 50. Now, standard and above is where you actually start having unlimited licenses for contributors and also floating licenses for developers as well. So when you're at the standard level, you have a choice of either using floating licensing or you can choose to use authorized user licensing and kind of move forward there. Now, these are the only two licenses, contributor and developer, in the case of Rational Team Concert, are the only two licenses that can be assigned to users or third-party automated processes. And what do I mean by that is, let's say you've written some kind of an internal synchronization tool that synchronizes your work item with, let's say, your support help desk. And in that case, what you have to do is for the synchronization user to work, you actually need to use one of your user licenses to allocate to work with the automated process as it is. Now, for certain rational products like ClearCase and ClearQuest, we have licenses available, but these are only to be used with ClearCase and ClearQuest, along with our automated build. So if you have a build form, you can run up to 50 build IDs that can go ahead and run across multiple build servers to run your continuous build in this context. All right? One thing to also note is, once you log on to the server and you're not writing anything, you don't get access. You don't get a license allocated to you. So, for all intents and purposes, there is no license required if it's only read-only access. So, for read-only users, you do not need a license. And even when I log on, even though I may have a license allocated to my name, but if I'm only reading, I'm not using up a license. But as soon as I start doing a checkout, check-in operation, or modifying a work item or modifying a plan, that's when I actually go ahead and consume a license. All right? So your basic flow, and this is kind of true for both floating and for authorized user, is the fact that you first go down, you know, as if you've gone ahead and purchased a Rational Team concert or any Jazz product, you know, you go to Password Advantage, download, you know, the server edition that you've purchased, download the server activation key. Now, if it's floating, you go and download the floating activation keys or the contributor activation keys, install them. You upload the activation key for the Jazz Team server first. Then you go ahead and upload the license keys for the respective users, so developer or contributor roles, and then you go ahead and enter those licenses in. So what I'll actually go ahead and do is kind of show you guys a quick demo of how this UI looks in our current release of Rational Team Concert. Stephanie, could you just let me know if the screen paints up properly?
Now.
Okay, it's there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this is what you see when you log on to the admin UI of the Jazz Team server. And as you can see, I've gone ahead and already added activated my current server. So it's actually gone away. So if this, if the key was not uploaded, the status here would have said trial and the number of days left in my trial. But because I've actually gone ahead and uploaded the permanent key for my server, the status it says and shows as permanent. The other thing to note here is that you have the floating license server here. Now, if in this case this particular machine was not serving any floating licenses, but there was another server on your network that was serving floating licenses, you would just basically click on this link and provide the URL for that particular server that's serving floating licenses. Now, once that is done, let's say you want to go ahead and add your authorized licensing. And typically what you would go ahead and do is you click on the Add button, look for your particular jar file. And in this case, I'm just going to go ahead and add a standard RTC standard developer. Click on OK. And here it'll go ahead and ask me the number of licenses. Now, because I'm actually using Derby as a back-end database, by default, any edition of Rational Team Concert restricts itself to 10 users because we know that Derby can't scale beyond 10. Now, if I had a DB2 server or Oracle or SQL server, then I could have added a number beyond 10 in this case. So, for example, if I'd purchased 50, I could go ahead and add 50, provided that my backend server was Oracle, DB2, or SQL server. All right? So now, in this case, I've already purchased 7, and I'm going to go ahead and click on Finish. So now I have my developer keys all activated. Now, as I mentioned earlier, you can have unlimited contributor licenses. So as you can see, even though I may have only 10 developers, I've actually got up to 2,000 contributor licenses available to me on my server. Now, on the other part here, too, is that you can also go ahead and add floating licenses. So let's say I decide that now, from this point on, my floating license server, this particular workstation of mine, is going to be the floating license server for the enterprise. And the way I go about doing that is basically clicking on this Add button again, click on the Browse button, navigate to my floating licenses jar file that I've gotten from Rational, click on OK. Now, once it's actually updated, it'll actually again ask me for the number of floating licenses that I've gone ahead and purchased. I'm going to say I have purchased, 5. And then I'll click on Next. And it says, do you want to allow users on this server to be able to acquire floating licenses on this license server? So you can actually restrict. So if you do not want other machines to communicate with this server and not acquire licenses, you can put that restriction in place as well. If you decide you want to customize it later on, you can also do that and allow for people to get access to the licenses when you deem it necessary. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to click on finish. All right, now once that is done, as you can see, on my list of licenses now, I also now have Floating Developer available, and I've got zero assigned, but it's activated. So once I start pointing to this particular server, as you can see, over here by itself points directly to my server, and if I look at View Issued, none of them have been issued so far. Okay? The only way that it actually gets this particular license issued is anytime when a user logs on and commits to a floating license, that's how they see it. Now, we've gone ahead and added licenses. Well, how do we allocate that to users? Well, on the admin UI, we can go to the user management section. So click on that link here, and we can go ahead and add users to various types of licenses. So, for example, I've got Archie, Bill Cassavelli, Build, Freddie Freund, Jason Mitchell, all these users that have got their own respective licenses. Let's look at Bill for a minute. And here I can go ahead and see the Bill. There's Bill's picture and the client access licenses that are available. Now I can choose whether Bill should get an authorized license or not. Now I believe Bill's a really vital stakeholder for the project, but he's not a developer. He's a contributor. So I can just go ahead and say, you know what? Out of the 2,000 contributors that I have, Bill's going to only get the contributor license and work with that. Now, again, this is independent of whether Bill uses the web client or the Eclipse client or the Visual Studio integration as a way to interact with the larger development team. But that's what's possible. I'll go ahead and save. Now, what I'll also go do is now I need to assign another user a floating license. So let's look at Freddie Freund. Now, with Freddie, as you can see, we don't have anything allocated to Freddie. What I'm going to go do is for Freddie specifically is add that Freddie's going to use a floating license because he has to actually work across multiple servers, multiple projects, and so on and so forth. Once I've done that, I'll just go ahead and click on Save. And if I go back to my license management, you'll see that my assignment has actually gone in and incremented by one. It means Freddie's already got a license allocated to himself. Now, Freddie will get the license from this pool of licenses, which is in this case only five, once Freddie starts writing to the repository. So if Freddie logs on as only reading work items and not necessarily modifying a work item or so on and so forth, Freddie need not get that floating license that's been allocated to him in that pool. Whereas once he starts editing, that's when it happens. Now, one of the things that's also different between the floating license and the authorized user license is the fact that the authorized user license, it's tied to that user. Whereas in the case of the floating license, the user is tied to a pool of licenses. So you can have 10 users, and if 10 users are tied to a pool of 5 licenses, at a given point in time, there may be 5 active users. So if the 6th one tries to come on and log on, it'll tell them, look, there are no floating licenses available. Please wait. So that was a short demo of how the licensing aspect of Jazz works.
Kartik,
yeah.
Can you just address the issue of, in case your license server goes down, having another license server for like kind of failover?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So basically, in that context, what you can go ahead and do is essentially have a secondary license server pointed there, and what you can have is have the same jar file, because what will happen is when you have a failover kind of scenario, you actually have to get into an agreement with Rational the fact that you can have something called a redundant licensing. So you can actually use the same server activation key on multiple servers. But that's, you have to get into a written agreement saying that you will not abuse the privilege and so on and so forth. But what would happen in this case is that when you have the failover happening, the secondary server could then point at this new license server and start giving out licenses in that context. So same thing could happen there. Now, typically what we advise is that do not actually have the license server running on the same production server that's also your repository server. So ideally what we say is have a separate license server in your organization and have all the other multiple repository servers that are running there. Now, that's all great when you have floating, but when you have authorized user licensing, please make sure to preserve the jar files that you have. So in this case, when you have those jar files, what you can go ahead and do is move your licenses of the old server that went down onto the new one and apply the jar files onto the new one as well. And then go ahead and start functioning from that context. So again, there's a level of trust that we're actually enabling with our customers around this. And obviously, you know, we expect the fact that there will be customers that will be complying, but for all intents and purposes, that's the kind of model that we currently have with Jazz licensing. Did that answer that question there, Stephanie?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I was just getting some messages. Richard England, did you have a question you want to ask Kartik right now?
Yeah, concerning the licenses that were made available, I noticed that you didn't allow any clear case for trial cases. We're very heavily into that. Is there any chance that that might be made available?
Well, the clear case connectors work. You know, if you're on trial, you can still use those licenses without a problem. So once the Jazz team server goes off trial mode, it's only at that particular time you can't use them. So the clear case connector licenses will just work without a problem as it is.
Thank you.
Kartik, this is Martina. Do you have any sort of license monitoring? Any IT department I've ever been in, they wanted to monitor their license usage?
So within Jazz, I was actually going to save it for the last, but what we have is this kind of usage statistics that's available for our floating licenses, where looking at the number of licenses that you have, it can actually tell you what your peak usage is. And typically, one of the problems I know we've seen with customers trying to talk to Rational is, you know, anytime there's a license that they feel that they've actually reached capacity, you know, it's usually a rule of thumb saying, I think we're going to reach capacity here, so we might need another 50 licenses. Well, we're now providing this kind of capability as it is to give you live reports on the peaks and valley of your license usage. And that's actually inbuilt into the Jazz team server. Now, if you are looking at monitoring license usage in the sense of monitoring license availability or service availability, you could plug in Tivoli monitoring services and actually monitor service availability of your particular product, but that's the extent of it. The license monitoring part is integrally part of the Jazz team server.
And the key jars, are those standard jars you download, or do you get those from the License Key Center? Or
Right now they're available. They're additionally signed jars, so they're not just any regular jars. So, you know, if you crack open those jar files, then those jar files become defunct. Right now they're available as part of your product download on Passport Advantage. We are currently in the process of moving those jar files to the License Key Center, but the discussions around that are still pending to make sure that we have the infrastructure available to support this kind of a licensing model. So as of right now, the jar files that you get, you actually download the jar files as you download the product from Passport Advantage.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So just to quickly kind of show you what exactly what we're talking about here, so just a set of license summary capabilities. So, again, I'm kind of keeping the focus down here with RTC specifically, but you could see some similar analogies, if you will, with RQM and RRC. Now, in the case of Rational Team Console, a developer license actually allows you to do the following sets of activities. In the case of source control, work items, build management, and process. When you use a contributor license, and again, we've actually made some significant addition compared to how this looked like at the version 1 time frame, where when we released the contributor license in version 1, all you could do was essentially submit work items. As of 2.0.0.1, you can not only go ahead and submit work items, but you can also go ahead and create queries, modify queries, create and update your iteration plans or your release plans, along with creating custom dashboards. What we've also added to the web UI is using the contributor license, you can actually view source control if you have access to it. And again, you can also view build results. Now, one thing to note, I did mention the fact that for read-only access, you don't need to consume a license. But just because you have read-only access, the project team that you may be wanting to look at, if they provide access to read-only users, only then can you see the content. If they don't allow any outside users to kind of log in to see read-only access, if they don't allow them to have read-only access, then you can't see them, even though you may be able to log on. So just to reiterate, there are some security measures in place to allow the right people that want to read content are the ones to read content. Those people that are not allowed to read content will not be able to see content, even though they may be able to log on to the Jazz Team server in this context. All right. The other licenses that are not necessarily counted on the server limit, and again, as of enterprise, the server limit does not exist, are the ClearCase connectors. These are only to be used with ClearCase as it is, and again, they're available both at the trial, when you try out Rational Team Concert, or when you acquire Rational Team Concert. And these are only for ClearCase connectors only. So basically, this allows you to synchronize artifacts between Rational Team Concert source control system and ClearCase. And because the ClearCase licenses are usually more than what you have for ClearQuest, because ClearCase uses OS-based authentication. Now, for ClearQuest, you only need one license or one connector license, and that's because ClearQuest has the capability not to use non-OS-based authentication, so you can use just one ID to synchronize activities back and forth between ClearQuest and Rational Team Concert. Now, the build ID is essentially, or the build license, is for executing build processes across multiple build servers. And again, you can go ahead and create build workspaces with the build license. And again, you can have unlimited build machines, so a single build ID, so to speak, can run on multiple machines. So if you have 100 servers on your build farm, and you only have one build ID that needs to go and run on those 100 servers, you can go ahead and do that. Now, the only thing that's not possible with the build ID license is the fact that you can't create things like your build definitions. In the case of RTC, what a build definition means is, you know, being able to go ahead and provide the right set of environment variables, the parameters, and so on and so forth for the build to run properly. For that, you actually need a developer client access license. All right? Again, just to kind of go back and reiterate for the read-only access, by default, anybody can get read access. But that read access doesn't give you the right to go and read everything on the repository. You can only see content to which you are authorized to see. You can run pre-existing queries, view pre-existing dashboards, but when you're doing all that, you're not necessarily consuming a license. So I could be I could be in a situation where I'm allowed to see content in a particular project, and I'm viewing existing dashboards, but not necessarily committing or creating new work items for that particular project. And in that kind of scenario, I'm not consuming a license. And that's the kind of capability that Jazz and Jazz products offer today. Now, Jazz versus FlexLM. This has been a regular question. You know, why didn't we go ahead and choose FlexLM? One of the things that we saw with FlexLM was the fact that it had a very kind of a very basic model. It's just basically grant and revoke. And in more ways than one, it was tied to a host name or a host ID. Now, the other thing was FlexLM also required to have some kind of a client logic to run on the workstation, which is not the case with the Jazz licensing. The other thing was now some of the newer versions of FlexLM are providing web-based license management, but when we were initially assessing it, those are certain things that were not available. And reporting on FlexLM is a little more complicated because you actually have to buy a separate product to go ahead and get all the nice little charts that you need for reporting. But some customers have been a little bit more inventive by using some of the FlexLM commands and then parsing the output to create custom reports for their organization. So we decided that that's just unnecessary, and we should actually be able to provide that as part of our license management infrastructure, which is why we actually provide graphs and reporting capabilities inside Jazz Team Server.
I know IT organizations where they just have like one web page where they display all their licenses.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's a FlexLM thing. Is there? just a simple link that somebody from, you know, who would be only IT and all they do is licenses,
yeah,
can link into that?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
I mean, the UI that I showed you where I was managing licenses is the admin UI. You can actually have the IT folks separate from, let's say, your project administrator, who's more concerned about, you know, making sure the people are following the rules of the road while developing software. So, you know, within Jazz, you have that logical separation where the IT folks manage things like service availability and so on and so forth, whereas the project admin folks, now these project admin folks could be your, you know, team leads or lead development management and so on and so forth, that are governing how the larger how the software development team is functioning within the context of the software project. So we have the logical separation within within Jazz and Jazz product.
This is Richard Engel again. Am I clear that you're saying that you need a ClearCase connector license in addition to the ClearCase licenses?
Well, the ClearCase connector license is already provided as part of the server. You don't have to acquire it. So when you get the Jazz Team server, the ClearCase connector license is already there. So you don't need anything. It's just something that we've kind of made available. So when you do go to the license management UI, you'll see a separate line item that talks about the ClearCase connector license. It's not something that you buy.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So just to summarize, what I've been talking about is essentially that supporting, you know, Jazz supports both authorized user licensing and floating licensing. Both are server managed. There's nothing, there's no client logic that needs to run off the workstation. Those licenses are client independent, so whether you're using Visual Studio, whether you're using the web, or you're using the Eclipse client, it's all there. It manages licenses for that. Now, I know it says three editions, it's actually four, but contributor licenses are available for all four editions, which is Express C, Express, Standard, and Enterprise. And again, as of RTC 2.0 and above, for Express C, you can actually have unlimited contributors. So, and as I mentioned, Express C is our free version. So it's a 10-user developer license. You can go to jazz.net, download it, you know, try it out for 10 members of your development team. And if you want to support a larger contingent of contributors, you can essentially go to, you know, Rational, purchase additional contributor licenses, and add that to your Express C server and be a fully functional development team. In more ways than one, as you saw in when I was also demonstrating, you actually could have counted and uncounted licenses. Counted licenses are like developer licenses and contributor licenses that actually show you who's been assigned what and where and how. Uncounted licenses are like the connector licenses that I was alluding to earlier, where these are just part of the system. You don't necessarily have to acquire them or anything. The only licenses that you have to acquire are the developer and the contributor licenses, and that's it.
Hang on, your slide says that the free Express C has 10 users and unlimited contributors.
Yes,
and
that's
that
correct.
Each purchase additional contributor. If you have unlimited contributor, why would you need to purchase?
No. So what I mean is that it doesn't have a user limit. So it comes with 10 developer users, and it can scale up to unlimited contributors, but it doesn't come with contributor licenses.
Oh.
So you just get 10 developer licenses in it. But if you want to add contributors to it, let's say 2,000 contributors, you'd have to purchase 2,000 contributor licenses and then plug that into an Express C server.
Yeah, you may want to reword that a little bit.
I will. That's good feedback. Thank you. All right. With that, I'm done. And is there any additional questions? Fire away.
Please feel free, anyone, if you want to ask any questions, but I think if there's no questions right now, we're just going to do a brief survey question Marcella, if you want to do that survey question.
Certainly. Thank you. The question is, how useful did you find this open mic call? How useful did you find this open microphone call? Please press star 1 to answer very useful. Press star 2 to answer somewhat useful. Star 3 to answer not useful. Please vote at this time. Again, star 1 for very useful, star 2 for somewhat useful, star 3 for not useful. Thank you. That will end the voting.
Okay, so we'll just leave it open for a couple minutes. If anyone wants to ask any questions, this is an opportunity to do so. Okay, Kartik, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, and just wanted to say thank you, everyone, for their time. And Stephanie, I believe this is you'll be able to download this since I logged on as a moderator.
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Well, and if anyone wants to get a copy of the recording or the presentation, I'll make sure to post it on the Jazz.net forum where all of the events have been posted. But if you, after the presentation, if you feel that you have any additional questions or you want to provide us some feedback, just post it on the Jazz.net forum. And I just want to say thanks, Kartik, for coming today and speaking, and thanks, everyone, for joining us. And next week, we'll be talking about ClearQuest integrations with speakers Richard Piazza and Sridhar Durella, if you guys would like to join that. Okay, everyone, have a great day.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks.